Isaac. Morning. It's glad to see that everybody made it. Yesterday we couldn't start any of our cars, so we were stuck in the house, but looks like it warmed up enough so that everyone was able to get here. I was surprised when I walked in the door, or a little bit later, that two of my AIM classmates actually came, and I'm sure if I had told them that I was preaching, they would have opted for a different congregation, but Carrie DeMaria, she served the Lord in Lima, Peru, and Jonathan Ledbetter, and he served the Lord in South Africa, where Mike's at right now. They're both with us today, and Carrie goes to the church in South Anchorage, that congregation, and so they're sitting here in the middle next to Beth Reichel, but if you get a chance to talk to them, they've got some great missionary stories, I'm sure, to tell you, some interesting things, and also just that you would just tell them good job for the work that they did in the countries that they went to. Why don't we go to God in prayer before we get started today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we could come together and worship you, and to think about your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross. Right now, we pray that we could search your scriptures and study your word so that we would be able to know you better, Father. And we pray that we would be able to get all of our pleasure from you, Father, and not from earthly things. And I pray that your message would be brought today, Lord. Pray that we would just continue to follow you, follow the example of your Son, and that we would continue to love others as he loved us first. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. What would you give to be able to look into the life of someone else and see all of the things that they did to make themselves happy? It'd be pretty interesting to see what somebody did, all the little things they did to make themselves happy. But what if you wrote down all the things that you did to make yourself happy, and then you published that book? How would you feel? Ashamed? Empty? You might feel misled that we follow these things in life that we think will make us happy. You see, we each have an expectation that there's going to be something that is going to make us feel satisfied, that's going to make us happy. And a lot of the times, this emptiness becomes our motivation in life. We want to fill that void in our lives. And so, for that reason, we want to get a higher paying job, or we want better education, or nicer things. We think that it's going to make us satisfied. Did that new snow machine, did that really make you happy? Did getting married solve all of your problems? Are you satisfied now that you have a custom-built home to exactly how you wanted it? See, each of us can fill in a blank in our own lives. I will be happy when blank. In my own experience with that is, I fill that blank in with something. I will be happy when I get a new car. And I fill that blank in, and I'm not satisfied, and I start the process all over again, and I'm never satisfied. I'm never satisfied with the things that I strive to do and strive to gain. But King Solomon, he did write down all of the things that he did to be satisfied. He wrote them down in Ecclesiastes, and that's where we're going to be today. You see, King Solomon was one of the wisest men in the world. The Lord gave him wisdom, and he was a very wise king. And he was also rich. He was one of the richest kings, one of the richest men in the world. And if anyone, he had the ability to do whatever he wanted and to seek out what would satisfy him. And it's nice because he's kind of done the work for us. He's wrote these things down so that we could look at them and read them and take that example and apply it to our own lives. And I don't know if any of you have ever been snowboarding or skiing, but what I like to do is I usually go with friends, is I let them go down the hill first. That way I can sit back and you'd be nice about it. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, sure. Go on down. And you watch them and see what they do. Oh, that was a bad... You know, they fall or they veer off or something happens. And we say, okay, well, I'm going to go that way instead. But what we do in life is that we look at the outcome of other people's actions. And then we base our own actions off of that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You see, Solomon wrote here his actions, and he wrote the outcome, and now we can base our own actions off of what he did. If you turn to Ecclesiastes, you'll notice in the first chapter, he proclaims that everything is meaningless. And then in the second part of the first chapter, he proclaims that wisdom is meaningless. And then in chapter 2, he pronounces that pleasures are meaningless. And don't let this get you down or depress you. There is a point to it. So he proclaims these things are meaningless. And after proclaiming that everything is meaningless and that wisdom is meaningless, he begins to wonder if maybe pleasure isn't meaningless. Can I satisfy my life with pleasures? And so that's what he does in chapter 2. And we're about to get into that. Pleasure in our society is a very high and lofty goal. It's something that many, many people strive for. The pornography industry in the United States alone brings in upwards of $13 billion a year. That's more than ABC, NBC, CNN, all of those combined. The average NFL football player makes more than $1 million a year. And Apple, Macintosh, earns $1.6 billion a year, and that's just off the little iPods that people are always listening to. All of these things are pleasure-related. All of these things are things that people do to seek pleasure, to be satisfied. So we get the picture. We're a pleasure-oriented society. But we have low expectations of pleasure. We've kind of changed what some of the things mean. We have sex, but we don't have any love. We have music, but we don't have worship. And we have wealth, but we have no stewardship of that wealth. My question is, what other kinds of things do we buy or spend our time on or do to be satisfied in life? And we should question ourselves this: what good is something if it doesn't bring me closer to God? Keep that in mind as we read the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 through 11. And we'll break this down verse by verse here, but I'll read it really fast. It says, "I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish, and what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers, and I had a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I had denied myself nothing in my eyes. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So we see these things that Solomon strived for to fill his life with. And he proclaims a couple of times that it's all meaningless. Let's break this down verse by verse. Verse 1. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. You see, Solomon had already tested himself with wisdom earlier on in chapter 1, and it proved to be meaningless to him. It didn't help him to feel satisfied. It didn't show him the meaning of life. So now he chooses to test himself with pleasure. Maybe that will fill up the void that he feels. And he also proclaims that these pleasures are meaningless. My question is, do we ever just try and figure out life? It seems like all of the philosophers and these men, the question is, what is the meaning of life? And they might have a skull right here. What is the meaning of life? To be or not to be? That's the big question. That's what everybody wants to know. Why am I here? But we need to follow instructions better, because Solomon wrote this stuff down, and he was seeking the meaning of life, and he didn't find it in pleasure. And yet we still seek pleasure every day. Verse 2, laughter, I said, is foolish, and what does pleasure accomplish? So Solomon pursues laughter as a means of feeling satisfied. He thinks that maybe a good belly laugh will be the ailment to a life that is full of pain and sorrow, and that is otherwise unfulfilling. But in the end, he realizes that pleasure accomplishes nothing. And I know men especially can relate with this, because we sit down to watch a football game Monday night. It's been a long day. You sit down, watch a football game. 2 or 3 hours later, the trash is still sitting by the door, and nothing's been accomplished. Nothing's been accomplished. Laughter, pleasure, it only lasts for a short while. And when it's over, we realize that we haven't done anything. Stand-up comedians, they earn thousands of dollars a show to entertain the audience. And not to mention that there is a whole network on TV called Comedy Central. It's appropriately named. And all it is just comedy shows. Make people laugh. That's okay, but at the end of laughter, the pain and responsibility of reality are still there. It doesn't change anything. And what Solomon says is that we can't laugh ourselves into a state of feeling satisfied. Verse 3. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. So he begins to drink alcohol and folly, silliness. He embraces that, having a good time, partying. Yet, he says, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. He did all of this with wisdom in mind. He tried to do it wisely. He wanted to see what it is we can do that is worthwhile under the sun. But that also is meaningless. Alcohol in our nation is prevalent. It's a pleasure for many people. A lot of people watch the Super Bowl just to watch the beer commercials. Beer is almost the American pastime. I think it may have surpassed baseball. I'm not sure, but it's getting up there. Alcohol induces more than 21,000 deaths a year. And that's not counting homicides or accidents. True pleasure does not end in death. We know that because of what the Bible tells us. And so we know that alcohol is an empty and unfulfilling outlet. And that's what Solomon found out. Verses 4 through 6. This is the next thing that he tries to do to fulfill himself. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Solomon basically builds a heaven on earth. He builds a second Eden. And if you read anything about Solomon from outside of the Bible, you'll read about how amazing the things were that he built. And so he makes this second Eden. But the beauty of Eden was that God dwelt there with man. And the beauty of heaven is that we will dwell there with God. And so this second Eden, these parks and gardens and these things that he built, it didn't satisfy him. It was neither here nor there. And how many people in here like to garden? I'm going to start my first garden next year, or this year, when I have my house. And I'm not going to set my hopes very high. But, you know, we like to garden, and I think that's because man was created in a garden. And we were created in Eden. But, so we garden, and we have these luxurious houses. We have luxurious houses. But inside, a lot of times, it's a broken home. You see, there's a big difference between a house and a home. We spend lots of money and time building a house. And a lot of the times, the only thing we get to do there is sleep. And people buy huge houses, but it's not quite a home because maybe there's a divorce, or maybe the father's always gone working. Buildings, houses, parks, gardens, they're not going to satisfy us. And Solomon would know because he built the temple. He had the temple built in 6 years. But get this, he had his own house built in 13 years. And we know how amazing the temple was. It describes it in the Bible. So his house must have been crazy. But that didn't satisfy him. Verse 7. I bought male and female slaves, and I had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. He had slaves. He had servants. He thought it would be great to have people that would do whatever he wanted to. Clip my toenails. Rub my back. Wax my back. He had people that would do anything that he wanted to. And apparently there was a lot of people because it says that he had more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem to feed all those people that he was had doing things for him. And we don't have slaves. We don't necessarily have servants. But we do the next best thing, and we pay people to do things for us. We pay people to cook food for us. Some people have personal chefs, chauffeurs, people that will drive us around, and people that wax body hair. Just things that if you really think about, things that we want other people to do for us. Wouldn't it be great if I had someone to do this for me? It's that blank that we fill. But even that didn't satisfy Solomon. And so we know that will not satisfy us. Verse 8. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers, and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of man. Money and women. He was the richest man of that time. Some say he's the richest man in the world. He had people that would sing for him whenever he wanted that. And of course, everybody knows about Solomon's wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. For the wisest man in the world, to me, that, I don't know how he managed that. One is enough for me. But he had a lot of women, too. And this is where we see that we have wealth, but we have no stewardship. We have sex, but we have no love in our society. We get our PFD check, and what's the first thing that we do? Go out and buy a big screen TV, or a four-wheeler, or a vacation that we really, really need. And credit card debt, also a large problem in our country. I read that the average American with a credit card has more than $8,000 in debt. We have sex but no love. Pornography is the biggest business in America. We already covered that. But it is reeking of selfishness and also degradation. There's no love involved in that. People live together, but they don't love each other enough to get married. People have irresponsible sex and abort their accidental babies because there's no love. That's why there's abortions, because there's no love. Wealth and a trophy wife or a trophy husband is not going to satisfy us. And neither is 300 or 700 of those. Verse 9. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And all this, my wisdom stayed with me. That's hard to imagine. Somebody who takes a position of power, or a position, whether it be a term or a presidency or a kingship, and stays wise. Because we vote people into office thinking, man, this person's really wise. And then after they get out, we look back and we only see the bad things that they did. But he did this, it says in verse 9, his wisdom stayed with him. He was just as wise as when he started. In verse 10 it says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. It got to the point of where these other things didn't satisfy him. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And I know that I've had that attitude before. I will convince myself that I deserve something. And even when I know that it's only going to satisfy me for a day or a month or a year, I still want that thing. We reward ourselves for our behavior or for our hard work, but it doesn't satisfy us forever. It doesn't satisfy us for very long. It didn't satisfy Solomon. Verse 11 is the culmination of his search for satisfaction through pleasure. It says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And he did a lot of stuff, and all of it was meaningless. He stepped back and he took a good look. He looked at the big picture, and he realized that none of it was worth it. He didn't feel satisfied after all of that stuff. The journey may have been good. While he was building stuff, while he was doing stuff, he may have been happy for a little while, but the destination was earthly. And by the end of his journey, all he had was earthly things, things that could oxidize and crumble and break. We are the richest nation in the world, and this is a statistic, but we are the most bored and also the most depressed. That doesn't make sense. Worldly pleasure can be best described as a goose chase, a wild goose chase without the goose. Or like Solomon says here, a chasing after the wind. It's something you can't really catch. Something we can't have. And unless our journey on earth is spent working towards our treasures that are laid up in heaven, we won't be satisfied. Our journey can satisfy us. It can be worth something if we know that our destination is with God in heaven, with our Creator. How can we be satisfied? If we follow the advice that Solomon wrote down for us, and there's more than just than him just searching out satisfaction through pleasure. There's a lot more in the book, and I urge you all to to read Ecclesiastes. But if we follow Solomon's advice, we should stop living for earthly pleasures and live for God. God can satisfy us. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Satisfied people don't need to sin. If you're satisfied, what more do you need? What would cause you to sin if you're satisfied? We spend time and money and effort trying to fill a void that can't be filled with something earthly. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." That's why we have this ache and this void in our lives, is because we're looking for something more, but it's not something that we can find in an earthly pleasure. It's eternity. We have that in our hearts. God put it there. And that void can only be filled with an eternity in heaven. And we can only get to heaven, we can only get to that eternity, if we have a relationship with God. That question that we asked ourselves in the beginning, what good is something if it doesn't bring me closer to God? It's not that pleasure is necessarily bad, but if it's not bringing you closer to God, then it's not filling that void in your life. And I challenge you to continue asking yourself that question. What good is this if it's not bringing me closer to God? We love pleasure. We're a people that loves pleasure. And that's okay. But we shouldn't let ourselves be satisfied with anything less than God, because all pleasure comes from God. God is pleasure. He is our pleasure. If you're a Christian who is gone off on a wild goose chase and you're chasing an earthly pleasure, please come forward. If you're a non-Christian who's tired of trying to fill this void in your life and you don't know why it can't ever be filled, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.